everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the LaBam Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host today, Katie Gilstrap, and with me I have Michael Thomas.
Hey, everybody.
And John Matthews. Yay!
Hey, everyone.
Today we have a wide variety of topics to cover. Well, not really. We're talking Marvel today, specifically Phase 1. But first, let's talk about the news and everything that's happened in the last week. It's been a long one. So we have Batman versus TMNT. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Michael, I know you want to talk about that one.
Yeah, so Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have actually crossed over quite a bit in the comics. Especially since the Ninja Turtles were in Injustice 2 last year. It's not really too surprising that they're working something out. I know they did a crossover with Batman the Animated Series last year too. So they're officially DCAU canon. But this is going to be brought to us by, it looks like, a new creative team. Troy Baker is playing both Batman and the Joker, which he's done before. Tara Strong is coming back as Harley Quinn. It doesn't look like it's in any specific Batman or TMNT universe or style. It looks like it's its own thing, which is kind of neat. And it's coming out this spring, too, so that's pretty soon.
Well, I don't really have any thoughts. I've never gotten much into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but Batman's cool. So if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming, then clearly it's for a good reason.
Yeah, they crossed over a couple years ago, their first crossover with the IDW incarnation of the Turtles. And they fought the Shredder and Ra's al Ghul, and that was really, really fun. So if they take anything from that run, that'd be awesome. They also crossed over with the Power Rangers. And then the Justice League crossed over with the Power Rangers. So if we can get some sort of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Justice League, Power Rangers team up, I would die of happiness.
You hear that, DC? Make it happen. John, did you have anything?
I'm not huge into TMNT. I don't have anything against them. They weren't really my childhood, and I grew up watching that series or anything, but I would like to see the team up. Sounds interesting. It reminds me of back when they did like Scooby-Doo meets Batman and everything, all the team ups on the Scooby-Doo episodes. So kind of brings that to mind. Should be interesting. I'd like to see what they could do with it. So be fun. I'll check it out.
Cool. I will too. Our next topic of news is Aquaman 2 and its potential. So, the Aquaman sequel is currently moving forward with a screenwriter. It's the same one who wrote the first Aquaman. And obviously we have the spinoff with the Trench potential. So, what are you guys' thoughts?
I really enjoyed Aquaman. The fact that it has the same writer is encouraging. Probably did a decent enough job on the first one, introducing Atlantis and everything. So I'm glad they're bringing them back. I had a lot of fun with Aquaman. It was kind of silly, but it knew it was, and I'm hoping it's going to be fun. The second one, the sequel, will be just as fun. I know that's kind of a bad word. But it should be a good time. As for the Trench, that's interesting. I don't really need a movie there, but I thought that film, which kind of reminded me a little bit of a horror movie, which seemed like it was a Bond influence. That could be interesting. You know, it's not a movie that I need, but I'll see it. So.
Yeah, we all knew Aquaman 2 was going to happen, but the Trench is the one that really stands out. Especially since they said it's not going to be with Mira and Black Manta. I don't know how they're going to work with that.
I think it can work, specifically if James Wan comes in and tackles it, because we all know horror's his kind of his thing. He had a really unique take with Aquaman. I know there was some issues with the story for other people. I enjoyed it like John did, so I didn't really see much of an issue with the current writer coming back. But that could potentially be an issue with other people who saw it and had issues with the script. So we'll see how that goes. I do hope Juan returns, though, because I think he did a fantabulous job.
I'd like to see him do the Shanks film, too. He probably wouldn't, but I would like to see him do it.
Yeah, I think he had a really big interest in doing it, which is why he was exploring other options. I think it can work, especially if you can bring in Aquaman and, like, maybe some other parts of the Justice League, like bringing Gal to kind of like show them fighting off the trench and like as part of the Justice League. And you can bring in horror movie fans into the DC universe and get them asking questions about who Aquaman is or who Wonder Woman is and draw them in to see other movies in a sense. So could be good.
Hey, doggies.
Would y'all shut up?
Wow. But yeah, the thing that's interesting about the trench is that it's the movies did something different from the comics, whereas in the comics, Aquaman has no control over the trench. He can't use his psychic link on the trench. Whereas in the movies, he can. So if there's any threat level, can't he just tell them to, you know, stop?
I mean, in a sense, you could say, you could take it to a different level and say, he has to be within a certain range of the trench to like kind of make it happen, but he also could get overwhelmed with other things. So there could be a different variety of takes to kind of bring in more of the comic feel. And yeah. So Hulu is going to be having some Marvel animation. We have Howard the Duck. Is it MODOK or M-O-D-O-K?
MODOK.
MODOK, Hitmonkey, and Tigra and Dazzler Show. Oh, and The Offenders, which will unite all four shows into one. This sounds intriguing. And it sounds to me, especially with The Offenders, that Marvel's trying to, like, tell Netflix, like, up there or something. Like,
there's also a rumor going out that The Defenders, all of them will cameo in The Offenders.
Ooh.
But, yeah, Howard the Duck, especially brought to you by Kevin Smith. That's going to be fun. I can already tell you. Kevin Smith and Howard the Duck is going to be the best show out here.
But what about Arrow?
Touche. Still. It's going to be good. That and MODOK by Patton Oswalt. They got some really talented writers and directors for this stuff. And so, can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah, I don't watch a whole lot of animated series in general, but I don't have a Hulu subscription, but Kevin Smith doing Howard the Duck, that sounds amazing, and I might have to subscribe just for that. So I might be broke, but I'm going to watch Howard the Duck. I need Howard the Duck in my life.
MODOK's another interesting one on here, too. I don't see how you can make a whole series based on just MODOK alone, because he's mostly a Marvel villain. So if there's no hero he's going up against, it's kind of interesting to see what they do with that. Captain Marvel is tracking huge.
We have Captain Marvel. So there was one prediction out that was not official, but it said that it was tracking for 160 million. But official tracking has come out. And it's set to say maybe 100 million plus opening weekend. That's impressive. Especially for a March movie.
Yeah, especially for a March movie. And it's just the third Marvel solo film origin story to track for that much, following Iron Man and Black Panther. So if that tells you how big this movie's gonna be, that's it right there.
Yeah, I'm excited. The recent promotional material that they've been releasing is it's drawing my excitement level up a little bit more. Earlier stuff was not, it was not up to where I was like, oh yes, this movie's gonna be amazing. But what they've had out now is a lot better than what it was. And the website, oh my gosh, the website is the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, it's got some influence from that Space Jam website that still exists for some reason. But yeah, the promotional stuff is getting better. I'm still not too excited, but it's Marvel, so I'm going to watch it, and I'm probably going to end up loving it anyway, so I'm not going to complain.
I think the movie looks bad, but we'll see. It might be good. You know, either way, critics are going to love it. And I might like it. We'll see. I do think box office wise, it kind of helps that a lot of people are aware that this character is going to be in Endgame. Obviously, this comes out before Endgame. And she's probably going to have a big impact on that film. So I think a lot of people are excited to see her. See what she's all about, and then obviously the fact that she's a female heroine, the first one that's gotten a solo film in the MCU, so you know there's a lot riding on that. Like I said, I don't think it looks good. I haven't been impressed by any of the promotional material. I do like some of the posters, but yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, the train sequence they released, I thought looked really bad, really poorly choreographed, but it doesn't mean the rest of the film is going to be that weak. So we'll have to see. I hope it's good. I hope I like it. So yeah, we'll see. I'm not surprised it's doing, it's tracking so well though. I think it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, not to get too off topic, but off of everything John was saying, how important it is as their first female solo film, how it's leading right into Endgame. Is that why the marketing hasn't been up to the Marvel standard? Because they already know we're all going to watch it because this is leading into the Avengers instead of focusing on selling us on this particular movie.
I don't know. I think you can possibly blame it on that, but also maybe they're trying not to show too much of Captain Marvel because Endgame is coming, and if that makes sense. So like with the Endgame trailer that got released at the Super Bowl, you could clearly tell that there were some places that were edited out, and so like we don't know if that was Captain Marvel or if that was Ant-Man. A lot of people are saying it could be Captain Marvel. When the group, I can't remember who it was, but it was like Bruce Banner, Captain America, Natasha, and they were all standing there looking at the sky, and you could see someone was edited out. And so maybe that is Captain Marvel, and they're just trying to avoid like showing too much as part of the promotional material. I don't know.
Yeah, but with that logic, you're handicapping her, which is not good.
Yeah, and I would completely agree. Because I mean, I think the only other Marvel movie that we've seen out here that has had similar promotional material as like was some of Spider-Man stuff, but this, like the earlier stuff especially, it was just like, ooh.
Yeah, makes me wish of the good old days from Marvel Phase 1.
And that leads us into our topic. Good transition, Michael.
I try.
We're going to be talking about Phase 1 of the Marvel movies, the Avengers Initiative. We've got Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2. We have Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, and Marvel's The Avengers. So, let's talk about Iron Man. John, What are your overall thoughts on the movie?
I think Iron Man is not only one of the best Phase 1 films, but I think it's one of the best MCU films, maybe even one of the best superhero films. I don't know if it's top 10 superhero films, but it's near there. This is a great introduction to the character. Obviously, it kickstarts the MCU, is where it all began. Robert Downey Jr. was born to play Tony Stark. He's got so much charisma and swagger. He's got a good sense of humor. I thought the villain wasn't great, but, you know, that's not always the MCU's strongest strength, necessarily. But I thought it was a really introduction to the character and a great way to start the MCU.
I really enjoy the movie. I think it's a great building block for the universe as a whole. I love Robert Downey Jr. Probably my favorite actor we have in the MCU, despite lovely Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth.
How dare you?
I would disagree with you slightly on the villain. I think for what it is in the storyline, the villain works. So, yeah.
Pepsi's just kind of forgettable, like a lot of the MCU villains are. So.
The Marvel movies put most of the focus on their heroes, whereas, look at 2008, The Dark Knight came out, and The Dark Knight focused way more on the Joker than it did Batman. So, yeah. Marvel's basically the opposite of that. So Bridges did a pretty good job playing Obadiah, the Ironmonger. Yeah, I had to look his name up because he is forgettable. But, you know, he functions properly for the story and he helps Tony's character. So I give him a pass. It's when they kept doing it that it became a problem.
Yeah, like I said, I think it worked for the movie itself and the story. Iron Man 2 is a different story, but we'll get to that.
Smooth. So Robert Downey, like John said, was born to play Iron Man. Iron Man in the comics is a little more serious than he is in the movies. And that's mostly Favreau just letting Downey go with it and make the character his own. And that's why it works. With Iron Man not being as iconic as, say, a Batman or a Superman, you can play around with the interpretation a little bit more without people getting upset. He's also one of the first heroes. I know the MCU does this later on with other characters, but he's the first hero who's kind of an a-hole. He's cocky, and he needs to be humbled. And that's basically a story arc in this movie. He's forced to make a change in himself, and he becomes a better person for it. Like The Dark Knight in 2008, it changed superhero films pretty much forever for a completely different reason. It introduced us to the idea of the universe. And that right there is what's always going to make Iron Man special.
This movie really introduces the rest of the MCU really well. It gives us Phil Coulson. It gives us Nick Fury. And it gives them enough of a background, in a sense, but without overpowering Iron Man as a whole. So really, if the movie hadn't worked, it worked as a solo movie and you didn't have to have anything else. I think Obadiah really works for what the story is in this movie. He is very forgettable. I will say that. Yeah, I agree. Fine. But I think he works in the story as itself. So,
also, he outs his identity, which is not a comic thing. So that was a huge twist. That's like Batman ending a movie saying, yeah, Bruce Wayne's Batman. So that was pretty huge. That was a big change, but it worked.
Yeah, it does.
I also have it as one of the best final lines in the film.
Oh, for sure. It is a mic drop moment. And the film ends perfectly. Favreau nailed that.
Okay, somebody remind me what the last line is.
I am Iron Man.
I am Iron Man.
Is that it? Really? He ends the movie like that? Oh, okay, yeah. Because of the parallels with the Spider-Man movie. Okay, yeah, I remember now. And I think that was more of Robert Downey Jr.'s personality, in a sense. Like, maybe they could have gone towards the more comic book direction where he doesn't reveal his personality. But Robert Downey Jr. is just so bold, and he's like, I think it worked better as a whole for the universe itself to reveal himself. That way, he doesn't have to contain parts of his personality or not.
And it makes him less like Batman. And that's always good.
Yes.
Because Jarvis, also in the comics, Jarvis is a butler. So you see how they had to change a few things so it won't just seem like a cheap Batman ripoff?
Really? He was a butler, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty boring.
Okay. Anybody else got anything on Iron Man, the original?
No, other than I love that they incorporated the AC/DC into it.
That was perfect.
Okay, so next on our list is The Incredible Hulk! Michael, why don't you start us off with this one?
So, The Incredible Hulk, it's not a bad movie. It's just not as good as the rest of the MCU movies. The story is pretty basic. It's basically Bruce Banner, who's already the Hulk at the start of this movie, has to fight the Abomination, who's another Hulk. It's pretty forgettable. But, like I said, it's not a bad movie. When you watch it, you enjoy it. It's also the first crossover in the MCU with Downey making a cameo at the end. But yeah, that's all you have to say. You can actually skip this movie and not really miss much.
There you can. I used to think this was one of the better films in the MCU, but I mean, watched it again. It's good, but like Michael said, it's not one of the best. I'd say it's probably one of the lower tier entries in the MCU at this point. It kind of sticks out like a sore thumb because Edward Norton's in it, and that's the only time he's portrayed Bruce Banner. Continuity-wise, it's kind of strange. I enjoy the action in this movie. I think the action's good. I like the fight between Hulk and Abomination at the end, but it is, like Michael said, fairly forgettable. It's not at one point, but it's fine.
Yeah. Norton, I liked Norton as Bruce Banner, but I can't see, I guess they just changed the character to fit Mark Ruffalo later on, and we can get to that with the Avengers, but he doesn't feel like he would fit in the MCU, so maybe it was for the best that things worked out the way they did.
No, it's a decent film, and I do like Edward Norton. But I feel like they tried to copycat and, like, pull a lot of elements from different films. It's definitely weak, but, and Robert Downey Jr.'s appearance at the end, it feels like an afterthought that they just wanted to include him so they could have some kind of linkage into the universe as a whole.
Yeah, his cameo is pretty much retconned at this point anyway. It makes no sense.
Yeah. There are some things that I liked, but the overall, like, the effects just don't work. It doesn't look practical. And the romance, it feels like Spider-Man and Mary Jane. And the two actors don't have any chemistry at all. So,
for those who don't realize, her saying Spider-Man and Mary Jane is the biggest insult she can give.
Yes. Yes, it is. Hashtag go listen to the Tobey Maguire hate podcast. Shameless plug. That one was fun. Anyways, so, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, the first sequel. John, you want to take this one? Because I took the first two.
All right. Iron Man 2. It's fine, but it's honestly, in my opinion, the weakest film in the entire MCU. It's the first sequel, and there's something to be said for that. Can't really erase it from the continuity or anything, much as you would like to. The sequel, I like Justin Hammer, Sam Rockwell. I thought he was great, but Whiplash is extremely underwhelming, and the final battle is pretty much a joke. It is so anticlimactic, so brief. It's not satisfying whatsoever. I would have been fine if Justin Hammer was the main villain and Whiplash wasn't even in it at all, because they really wasted Mickey Rourke in this one. They had Don Cheadle replacing Cuba Gooding Jr., is that his name?
Terrence Howard.
Howard, yeah. I can't remember his name. I liked the new Rhodey. That is good. But, and this one introduces Natasha. So, and I thought she was awesome in the film. But she's not in it a whole lot. I think it's an alright movie. It's got AC/DC, the points for that. but it's pretty forgettable and it's kind of lame, honestly. It's not particularly satisfying, especially the way it concludes. It's pretty anticlimactic, like I said. It's underwhelming. Could have been a lot better.
Yeah, it's a messy movie. And like The Incredible Hulk, you can cut the movie out of, say, a rewatch and not miss anything. It brings Scarlett Johansson in and Clark Gregg as Coulson and Lawrence Fishburne as Nick Fury, but that's pretty much it. There's nothing really in this
movie. Lawrence Fishburne as Fury?
Inside jokes, people.
I was about to say, I was like, huh? What?
I'll send you the video later. This is a running joke with Samuel Jackson. Anyway.
Okay. I'll understand later, hopefully. Okay. Yeah, I think other than the introduction of Natasha, there's not really much we get out of this movie. Other than Iron Man replaces his dependency source in his arc reactor and stops poisoning himself. That's about it.
Yeah, even that doesn't carry over to the other movies, because we didn't know he was poisoning himself until this movie.
Yeah, that there's like, I guess if you're like a science geek and you say, hey, that element could poison him. I don't even know if it's a... Why am I talking like... what I'm talking about? Maybe, I don't know, like... It's never mentioned again, so really, you don't probably need that. I'm rambling. I don't think it's a good sequel. I don't think Tony Stark is a stagnant hero, though, because he goes through a crisis in this movie. And, I mean, realistically, he looks like the same person in Iron Man. And then in the next movie he appears, which I believe is The Avengers, if he doesn't cameo in other places. I don't think he does.
No. But yeah, the reason I said he was stagnant is, what is his arc in this movie? Like, in the first movie, he's, like I said, he was cocky, arrogant, selfish. Then he changes to become more caring and considerate and becomes a hero. In this movie, he's basically back to square one, but he doesn't really change.
Right. The only reason he's back to being cocky is because he believes he's dying, though. And so you see the same caring person. Granted, he's still cocky, but that's just who he is. But you see him care a little bit more in The Avengers. And so that you could really cut this out and say, okay, he always just cares. But he falls back on his old personality because he believes he's dying. And he's like, okay, why do I care about anything?
Yeah. Like I said, this movie's pointless. But I get what you're saying.
Now, to the hot one. Thor. Of course, I mean Thor. Okay, John, tell us what you think.
Well, the first Thor film is good. I don't think it's great. I think it's good. The first film, Thor in it, obviously we're introduced to Loki, who became one of the best villains, if not the best villain in the MCU. Obviously, Thor's mischievous brother. I thought the angle between the two of them, it's kind of like a sibling rivalry. I thought that was well done. I love the fish out of the water stuff. Some really funny moments there. You can guess some of the ones I'm referring to. The romance stuff, I could take or leave, really. Kat Dennings is annoying, but not as annoying as she is in the next Thor film. Like I said, the fish out of water stuff's enjoyable. Some of the action's good. Get introduced to Asgard, obviously. But yeah, it's an alright film. The Dutch angles that I was joking about previously, a little distracting, but that's Kenneth Branagh's thing. So, but it's an alright movie. Not bad. I think it's kind of middle of the road in terms of comparing it to some of the other MCU films and Phase One. So,
yeah. So Thor is the first film where we kind of feel the Iron Man influence. He has some of the same personality traits that Tony Stark starts off with. And he kind of has the same story. He gets cast out from Asgard and he has to basically learn humility so he can wield his hammer again and go back home. Difference with Thor is that this is the first time we're kind of introduced to aliens and space and magic in the MCU. Thing is, since Thor is on Earth most of the time, we don't really get a lot of it, which is a little disappointing. But yeah, like John said, overall, it's a solid movie. Natalie Portman and Kat Dennings don't really need to be here. They don't add too much, but overall, it's entertaining.
See, I love Natalie, though. I think I wish she had had a bigger role in the MCU, but apparently that's just me. So.
Well, I mean, she's a good actress. She's a great actress. They just didn't give her enough to work with. I mean, in the comics, Jane Foster becomes the next Thor.
Yeah.
So they just didn't give her enough to work with, in my opinion.
Well, and I think maybe they could have tried to go that way. But ultimately, I think after Star Wars, Natalie didn't want to do another big series run. I think humanizing Thor and bringing him back to Earth is a big step, and it shows he can kind of cut all of the cockiness out. Honestly, this and Thor the Dark World are probably the most forgettable movies for me. So.
Wow, after The Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2, really?
Iron Man 2 is better than this movie for me.
Hot takes, everybody.
I forget to mention that this is the first time we see our first glimpse of Clint Barton as well.
Yeah, Hawkeye makes a cameo. That right there makes this movie a 10 out of 10, doesn't it?
That is true. Oh, no. I forgot he was in this movie.
One thing that kind of sticks out, why is Chris Hemsworth's eyebrows blonde? Kind of messes up his face. He looks weird.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he had to bleach his hair or something, and so they bleached his eyebrows.
But in the following movies, it's not like that. It's just a weird detail. And it kind of makes him look scary.
That is true. That's very true. Yes.
He's not wrong.
I do think we need more Idris in these movies.
Yeah. I'm sad about that. The whole Asgard cast didn't get any attention in this movie or the next one. Sif, the Warriors 3, even Odin and his mother Frida. They don't get as much play because we're on Earth the entire time, and it's kind of sad how not even in the sequel they really do much with.
Yep.
But that's a different phase, so I'll stop ranting about that. This movie's good. Tom Hiddleston is amazing.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston's the best part of this movie. He makes a great villain, and I think this is one of Marvel's few movies, like John said earlier, where Marvel doesn't typically address villains. In this movie, we get a lot addressed about Loki. And I think that's what brings this movie up just a little bit more for me. So,
but still below Iron Man 2.
Who likes Foster?
Okay. Maybe they're on the same playing ground. I just think Thor's character was very widely underused until Thor Ragnarok. But that's a different phase. We'll talk about that.
Oh, phase 3 is going to be fun.
Yes.
That's too far away. Let's stay in the present. Or the past. Speaking of the past, what's our next movie?
Captain America, the First Avenger!
Low-key, the best movie in phase 1.
I would say Iron Man and Captain America, the First Avenger, on the same. They're like 1A and 1B.
And Cap is 1A because he's the first Avenger. Boom.
Okay, fine. I'll compromise.
Yeah, so remember how early I was saying that Tony Stark and Thor Odinson are basically mirrors of each other? Steve Rogers is the complete opposite of both of them. And that's probably what makes this movie stand out above the rest of Phase 1. Steve Rogers is not rich or powerful or arrogant or cocky or whatever you want to use to describe the other characters. He's a weak man with a strong spirit. And that's what makes him so relatable. And Chris Evans plays that perfectly. Skinny Steve, Big Steve, doesn't matter. You just like the character of Steve Rogers. And like every MCU solo hero, you have to like them first. The villain always comes second. That's the Marvel model. And the First Avenger does that better than just about any other film.
I like Chris Evans' take on Captain America. Granted, I've never read a comic book, so I don't know the comic book origin. I'm going to work on that, I swear. But I really like Chris Evans in this role. He does a lot better than his Fantastic Four Human Torch appearance. They give him a lot to work with, and we really see him develop from being the skinny Steve Rogers into the hero, and he even plays like the transitionary symbol of hope, but then he transitions into a hero, and it's just a great, it's a great story.
I will always have love for characters like Superman and Wonder Woman and Captain America, so I am obviously biased, but I don't care.
I like Captain America the First Avenger. I have some minor gripes about it, mainly that the montage that kind of skips forward some neat moments. I feel like that could have, I wish it just weren't part of a montage, but some minor gripes like that aside, I think it's a good film. I love Chris Evans as Steve Rogers. Does really well with the transition being from the kind of low confidence, but high spirit, Steve Rogers, kind of weak, and then he obviously gets the serum and he comes very strong and does really well in with the physicality transition. I like Red Skull, okay. Not one of the best villains, but he's pretty decent. I like Peggy Carter. Obviously I wish we could have gotten more from her, but that's just how the storyline goes. And it's got quite, again, it's got a really, really good ending too. And, pretty cool trailer at the end credits as well.
Yeah, one of the problems with the First Avenger, even though I said how much I loved it, I still acknowledge there's a problem. But this is a problem with the MCU as a whole, and I guess this is what they were figuring out in the first phase. They needed this movie to end with him in present day. So they montaged over all the cool stuff in World War II. which is a little frustrating because you can make an entire series. In fact, they should probably make an entire series set in World War II for Disney's streaming service. We'll see if that happens. But you skip over so much of Steve and Bucky and Peggy fighting the Nazis and fighting Hydra to make sure we get him in 2012 for the Avengers. And it kind of handicaps him a little bit.
Yeah. I thought that would have been really interesting, but alas, we got what we got.
We also got Howard Stark. That was pretty cool.
Sure.
Seeing how he's kind of a mirror of Tony.
Yeah. Very much so. It's been a while since I've seen this one, so I'm not really going to talk overall thoughts. I would say Chris Evans, I think he's a different side of Robert Downey Jr., and I think both of them together work very well. Like, you can see their publicity efforts as a joint team, and then especially with Civil War, which we'll talk about later. or in the future, not later.
Much later.
They just work really well together. And so
they are this generation's world's finest, right?
Yes. Yes. Oh. So that leads into something Michael wanted to talk about. Michael, go for it.
So, Captain America is this generation's Superman. And I can also say that about Wonder Woman, but that's a DC podcast, so you're just going to have to wait for that. But Captain America is this generation's Superman. And by that, I mean he's a symbol of hope. He is a great role model. He teaches you, basically, to keep fighting, no matter the cost. Because you remember, in the beginning of this movie, when they're training, there's a grenade on the ground. He jumps on the grenade without the super soldier serum. He was willing to die right there on the spot to save his teammates. So he's basically everything you basically want from Superman. That said, he's still a completely different character, and Henry Cavill shows a completely different side of Superman, so no disrespect to Henry Cavill. But in my opinion, Captain America is that iconic Boy Scout for a modern age that everybody can look up to.
Yeah, and that's why he gets the serum, which is so important, because the soldier program did not want a specifically, like, I'm here just to be strong and powerful. They wanted someone with a compassionate heart, and that's what he shows. Steve Rogers, even when he goes to the future, he still believes and is willing to fight for what he knows is right and is willing to defend anyone, and that's such an important quality.
And if he can't defend him, you best be sure he'll avenge him.
Yes.
My segues have been on point.
Yes. Why did you host this one? The Avengers! Dun, dun, dun! So, does it work?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Are we gonna keep doing this?
Just kidding. No. Go on.
Go ahead.
So the Avengers is obviously the culmination of Marvel's Phase 1, where the first time that we get to see all of our heroes that we were introduced to up to that point come together and take on a common enemy, which is Loki, who is creating a wormhole to have aliens take over the world. One's power, one's being mischievous. Out of mischief. It's a good film, Avengers. In fact, I think it's really good. Joss Whedon did a really nice job bringing all these heroes together and all giving them their moment to shine at least once or twice. It's funny. Got great action. However, I will say it hasn't held up nearly as well. Mainly, my gripe with it is the cinematography. It feels kind of like a TV special sometimes in terms of the cinematography. It's kind of hard to describe. It sort of looks a little bit visually kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. It's a big budget film, but you know, it's got a lot of special effects, obviously. It just, I don't know, looks kind of cheap at times. It hasn't held up. Overall, I liked it. It's honestly one of my favorite superhero movies. Side of me loves seeing all those come together. And that was the movie that I was looking forward to. And the fact that it's awesome. It always holds a special place in my heart, even if it hasn't held up real well.
So yeah, I agree with everything John said. The Avengers is, like you said, the culmination of all of Phase 1. It's the first real crossover in the MCU, and basically the first crossover in superhero films in general. And yeah, it doesn't hold up as much as we probably want it to. For some reason, the cinematography does look like a glorified episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now looks better than The Avengers, and that is sad. That being said, seeing the characters interact, it's never going to get old seeing Robert Downey play off of Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. It's just not. No matter how many times I see The Avengers, I will always just sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah, the plot works really, really well. And cinematography, yep, doesn't hold up. But I really enjoy the plot, and I really think this is where we see the ending of Tony Stark's arc, when he takes that final plunge into the wormhole to kind of get all of it cut off, all of the aliens from coming back out. So, yeah, I think overall, it's a great film. It needed some help cinematography-wise, but other than that, it's really great.
And Cap's suit is such a downgrade from the first Avenger, but
I know.
We're going to let that go. It's mostly the mask. But yeah, Loki in this movie is interesting, especially looking back at the movie after seeing what his scepter was. Do you think he was being influenced by that Mind Stone?
I think so. At least to a certain extent.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because in every movie, aside from the Avengers, he did not act nearly as evil, I should say. Like, he was willing to destroy that entire planet. And that's something he wasn't doing in Thor or The Dark World or Ragnarok or Infinity War. So that's an interesting little detail that they added later on in Phase 2. But watching this movie again, it's kind of interesting to see.
I like him as the villain that's born in the Avengers side. But, yeah, you know, in terms of how they handled them. It is a little interesting to a degree. I would agree with you.
So here's what you were talking about, Michael, comparing Ruffalo to Norton. Overall, I like Ruffalo better.
I'd say I do too, because he has more personality.
Thing is with Ruffalo is they did change his personality. But I'm not sure how he would work as a lead in, like, a solo film. Like, in Ragnarok, he was able to play off of Hemsworth, but I can't see a solo Hulk movie with Ruffalo's version. At this point, with the first Avengers film.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I would too.
It's the same thing with Hawkeye and Black Widow. Up until, like, Captain America the Winter Soldier for Black Widow and No Point with Hawkeye, they always felt like side characters. Which is fine. They can be side characters in the Avengers film, but they didn't feel nearly as important as the big four.
Yeah, this interpretation of Hulk Ruffalo does feel like it was built and written to be a side character and not like a starring character. For sure. Whereas you could see that it was the opposite for Norton and Incredible Hulk. Felt like he was more written as a leading character, whereas Ruffalo kind of is almost written like he's a sidekick, almost.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. He needs that. He needs the support. He needs the supporting role. So I think we've kind of already touched on this. Does it pay off the build up and like it? Does it set the future up well?
I would say yeah.
Yeah, it paid off, especially at that point in time. You have to remember, this is 2012. Superhero movies. We're coming off of X-Men The Last Stand and Spider-Man 3. So there was no bar. Then Iron Man and The Dark Knight created the bar. And so, yeah, I think it paid off, especially at that point in time. Rewatching it now, it's not as good. None of these films are as good except for maybe Iron Man and The First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it did good. It set the groundwork for the future movie. And then we get to phase two, which is bonkers.
Let's not forget we get our first look at Thanos in the end credits.
That paid off big time.
I thought we were going to talk about the shawarma.
That too, shawarma sales doubled. They actually like 200%, I think, that week. No joke. I'm full of useless information.
I still never tried it.
Euros are better. Hot take.
I don't know what that is either, so we're just going to move on.
Oh my god.
I'm full of interesting things that I haven't seen or tried.
That's the end of phase one.
Yes, that is the end of phase one. And I have seen all of these movies, I promise.
Have you, though?
Yeah. It doesn't feel like you've seen the first Avenger. You kind of fudged your way through that entire segment.
I have not seen it in like 3 or 4 years, so I need to rewatch that one. I said I needed to rewatch that.
Sure, Jan.
I will rewatch them. I'm going to need to before Endgame comes out April 26th. Who's excited?
Shazam better.
Probably going to be the only one in the theater, though. It's a very small indie movie, so we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Might have live tweeted.
AMC has Wi-Fi now, so yeah. Who's live tweeting with me?
Anyways, anybody got any more thoughts on phase one of the MCU?
Have to show love to my guy, Phil Coulson. He died a hero in an OG Avenger.
I don't think it was that important.
You know what? I've had a lot of patience with you today. Don't push it.
I'm kidding!
Third Civil War meme here.
I did forget one thing with the news. Doom Patrol came out this weekend. We've already got a review up, so go check it out on whatbamentertainment.com. Definitely a show you should check out. I'll just go ahead and say that.
It's the anti-Titans.
I wouldn't say that. But, anyway.
I'm saying that without seeing it, but I believe it.
And he'll watch it before next week when we talk about the first two episodes of Doom Patrol, so stay tuned. John, where can we find you on social media?
You guys can find me on social media via Twitter and Instagram at at JohnM95. JohnM95.
Michael, what about you?
You can find me at MTJR_15 on Twitter. Also writing Arrow Weekly, Young Justice in a couple months, and reviewing some books on Wabam Entertainment. Also, I'm going to be on the Amateur Otaku podcast talking some Alita Battle Angel with Isaac and Brandon, so stay tuned for that as well.
And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at KGilstrout13. And I am going to be reviewing Doom Patrol Weekly for the next 3 months. And I also have some Star Wars book reviews going up on Wabam Entertainment every now and again. So make sure you go check us out, guys. Have a great night, day, afternoon, whatever you're listening.
See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Wabim Entertainment Podcast. For more from Wabim Entertainment, visit us on the web at wabimentertainment.com. You can let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WabimENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.